This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Firstly, to everyone here, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's lovely to be back here, and we're going to do another series now. And this series is going to be about looking at Quranic themes, okay? The Quran has been revealed to us, and you know, the Quran is not, it looks like it's not in order. But there's a very big reason why Allah did not put the Quran in a systematic order, like from A to Z. Like Allah could have said, okay, this is chapter about, you know, let's say Zakariya alayhi salam. This is going to be all the things about Zakariya alayhi salam, or all the things about Adam alayhi salam, or all the things about the jinns, and that's nothing more. And all the things about, you know, the humans and the men or the women and this and that, whatever we've got in our lives, Allah could have done that. He could have put all the beliefs in one surah and all the actions in another surah. But Allah Azza wa Jal didn't do it. Why? Because the Quran is in a way made like it's got multi layers upon multi layers, and each layer has got connections with the layer below it, above it, side of it, in front of it, behind it, on the right side and left side. And it's like a hologram. It's got so many different connections. And when you look at a hologram, like when you look at a large hologram with many several lines going all across, if you tilt it this way, you see something. If you tilt it that way, you see something. If you tilt it slightly this way, you see something. If you look from beneath it, you see something. If you look at it from one angle, you see nothing. That's how the Quran has been made. Because you kind of see that these ayats are not joined, but they are joined. They are joined, one thing. Second is, when Allah mentions something here, and then He goes on to a different subject, and different subject, what it forces you to do is not only look at what Allah is trying to say, but also the words He used. For example, if He used the word hidayah, you're going to be forced to look at all the other places in the Holy Quran where Allah mentioned hidayah, guidance. It forces you to do that. If Allah had a surah about just about hidayah, about guidance, and all the things about guidance, He put it all in one surah, you would read that surah only with the mind of guidance. You would not think about anything else, right? You just look at that surah about just guidance here, guidance in the home, guidance here, guidance, that's it. But when Allah Azza wa Jalla uses Ihdina Surat al-Mustaqim, Surah Fatiha, and then He says in another part of the Quran, it says, وَلَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, will guide them to our pathways. Okay, this is at the end of Surah Ankabut, okay? وَلَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, I will guide them to my pathways, yeah? It forces you to think about both the things. And Allah has used Hidayah so many times in the Holy Quran, guidance so many times in the Holy Quran. It forces you to analyze every single one of those points. And when you look at Surah Ankabut at the end, and you see Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, Allah said, those who will exert themselves to reach us, like those who will do their best to try and make a good connection with Allah, Allah said, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, I will open my pathways to them. So what it does now, it makes you think, wow, there's a whole context to that different ayah. There's a context to Surah Fatiha here when Allah has said, Ihdina Surat Mustaqim. There's a context to another part of the Quran when Allah has said about Hidayah again, alright? Lahadi alladhina amanu, Allah is the guider of those who believe. Now, again, belief has been connected there. In Surah Ankabut, it was, you know, exerting to find Allah. In Surah Fatiha, you find that it's the opening chapter, and Allah talks about guidance. We're going to get to that today, inshallah, because today's theme is going to be about this concept Allah has given in the Quran, the concept of the straight path. Allah has told us about Ihdina Surat al-Mustaqim, the concept of the straight path. So as part of this entire series, the first one of today is going to be based upon looking at this Surat al-Mustaqim. Looking at Fatiha in particular, Surah Fatiha in particular, and looking at this part of Surah Fatiha, which is Surat al-Mustaqim. Now, what I want to say to you, brothers and sisters who are listening, is that Surah Fatiha, we read it all the time, okay? We read it all the time. If you really notice in Surah Fatiha, apart from many other things going on in Surah Fatiha, because it's a very short surah, but it's jam-packed with so many things going on. Like if you look at it, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah, you've heard it, all praise to Allah. You know, there's so much going on. Allah is teaching the human to be grateful to his Lord and to recognize him as the sole provider of not only himself, herself, but every single thing that is in existence. Okay? There's a lot going on there. Alhamdulillah, every single type of praise, every type of praise is all belonging to Allah. Whether people want to praise him or they don't want to praise him, it belongs to Allah. And I recognize him as a Rabb, as the one who sustains, provides, and so on, okay? For not only me, alameen, all the different worlds. And when we say world, we don't just mean, you know, if you look in the tafsir, you'll find, okay, worlds of jinn, worlds of angels, worlds of humans, and so on. No, within every human world, there are several worlds. If you look in Imam Qurtubi's tafsir, you'll find this, okay? Every single world, there are many different worlds. So in the world of angels, there are different worlds of angels, okay? There's the hierarchy angel, there's the lower angels, there's the angels who are in the first heaven, angels of the seventh heaven, angels that are busy going up and down, angels that stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla in one heaven and just continuously worship him. In the world of animals, there are many different worlds, and so on and so forth, okay? Now, I'm not going to give a full tafsir of Surah Fatiha, but I just want to say, the next thing is, we recognize Allah as the most merciful, the most kind, okay, to everyone, specifically to the believers, Ar-Rahim. Okay, first Ar-Rahman to everyone, then Ar-Rahim specifically to the believers. We recognize then that our meeting is going to be on the Day of Judgment. Okay, so all of this was in the dunya, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim was like in between, dunya, akhirah. We want your specific mercy in the akhirah. Then it was Malik Yawmiddin. You are going to be the only one who owns everything on the Day of Judgment. So we recognize we're going to come there. And then the bridge between the dunya and the akhirah. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. We're going to do our part to serve you, worship you, whatever we can do. And we want you, please, to do your part, which is to give us the help. We're going to seek you for help, okay? We're going to seek help from you. And then Allah teaches us to say, what's the biggest help we can ever ask Allah? Now, Allah could have put any dua here. Okay, it could have been the Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Allah could have put Rabbana dhalamna anfusana or any other dua in the Quran or whatever. No, Allah said, you wanna ask me for the biggest thing ever? Then ihdina sirat al mustaqim. Ask me to be guided to the straight path. Okay. Now the concept. This is the whole thing about today's topic, which is sirat al mustaqim. What is this sirat al mustaqim? Okay, because sirat al mustaqim means the straight path. Now, it's not like the M1 that goes, you know, straight up, okay? It's not like one big motorway that just goes up, all right? The Sirat al-Mustaqim, you know, is not something that you're going to find from the earth. Once you die, there's going to be like some staircase that's going to take you straight to heaven. One straight staircase. There's no such thing. Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, is a balance. Sirat al-Mustaqim is a balance. Balance within our lives. Balance in everything that we do in our lives. That's what Sirat al-Mustaqim is. I'm going to explain that to you. How do I mean all of that, okay? If you look in the tafsirs, you will find Sirat al-Mustaqim, some scholars who've done tafsir have said Sirat al-Mustaqim is the Quran. And some have said Sirat al-Mustaqim is the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some have said Sirat al-Mustaqim is going to be all those things which, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us in terms of a balance in the Quran. And if you look at it, the Quran is a balance, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a balance. And when Allah created the human being and he said to us in Surah Rahman, he said, Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran khalaqa al-insan allamahu al-bayan, like the most merciful one, okay, Ar-Rahman. Because this is interesting, all right? Remember I said to you the hologram. Remember the hologram I said to you? If you look at it this way, you see something this way. Look at this here. In the beginning of Surah Fatiha, we've got Ar-Rahman. We've got Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Okay? Beginning of Surah Ar-Rahman, we've got Ar-Rahman, Allama Al-Quran, Khalaq Al-Insan, Allamahu Al-Bayan. So now it forces you to think about the two different places where Ar-Rahman has been discussed. And the Quran is full of many places of Ar-Rahman. So what do we see? You see, in Surah Fatiha, Allah has told us about how to visualize our world and the Akhirah, and Ar-Rahman is the one who has mercy on everyone, but Ar-Rahim is the only one that we can get specific mercy from. Okay? But if you want the general mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah says, look, Ar-Rahman, from my general mercy, Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran, I've given the Quran, right? Khalaq al-Insan, I've created human being, that's a general mercy. Allamahu al-Bayan, I taught you how to speak and articulate yourself, that's a general mercy. In Surah Fatiha, you find that Allah says, okay, one of the biggest things you need is Ihdina Surat al-Mustaqim. You need the straight path. In Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah says, one of the biggest things you need is you need a balance. Allah says, وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانَ أَلَّا تَطْغَوْا فِي الْمِيزَانَ. Surah number 55 of the Quran, you open the beginning, Allah has said, He has placed the scales, the balance. Allah tatghaw fil mizan. You as insan, you as human beings, don't violate the balance that I've given you. And this balance we're talking about, mizan is a pair of scales or a balance. Okay, it's a balance. The same thing Allah is saying here in Surah Al-Mustaqim about a straight path, which is getting things balanced. Surah Al-Mustaqim is something which, you know, to get this balance, what we mean by this is, first biggest balance is that we balance between our lives of what we see and what we don't see. Okay, we've got to do this as Muslims. Allah said the big balance. What you see and what you don't see. Do you guys understand or you don't understand? Let me explain it further. Some of you are like, this guy's lost us today. Allah said, Alimul Ghaybi Wash-Shahada. He is the knower of the unseen and the seen. You guys understand? The things we see and the things we don't see, Allah sees both. We only see one, Allah sees both. In fact, Allah sees everything of all the seen world, and He sees everything of the unseen world. We only see part of the seen world, and we see nothing of the unseen world. Allah has said, if you want to get a balance in your life, the first thing is, you better get the balance between the seen life and the unseen life. Where does Allah say that? Look in the Quran. Subhanallah. Look at it. Right in the beginning of Surah Baqarah. Just straight out of Surah Fatiha. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. Okay? وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. And they establish their prayers. And they give from the things Allah has given, they give away. What is Allah saying? What is Allah saying here? Allah is saying, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who will put their faith in the unseen world and who will pray in the seen world. Okay, the world that you see things, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. They will pray, offer salah. In the unseen world, they have the belief. That's a balance. Do you guys understand? Yes? It's a balance. I'll tell you another balance. The balance, subhanAllah, Quran has dealt with this very, you know, it's dealt with this so many different places. There's a clear balance we have to get with the Akhirah and the Dunya. The Dunya, which is this world, and the Akhirah, the next world. Allah has again and again said, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. You know, the next world is better than this world. But Allah has also said, in the Holy Quran, وَأَحْسِنْ. Allah has said, you know, be good, okay, be good. And Allah has told us to not forget. He's told us not to forget our portion of this world. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Okay, I'm going to give you the reference for this right now. It's in the it's in Surah Al-Qasas. And Allah has told us, look, when Allah told Musa alayhi salam to talk to Qarun, who had a lot of wealth, and he was inclined to this world, if you look in Surah number 28, ayah number 77, Allah said, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your portion of the world. Now the balance is this. The balance is, I live in this world, but I must also at the same time be connected to the next world. I should never be connected so much to this world that I forget my next world. And I should never be so connected to the next world that I forget this world. Do you guys understand? It's a balance. Allah has dealt with this in many parts of the Quran. Let me give you an example, okay? And you know probably about this. You've seen it daily in your lives. How many Muslims do we know that because of money, because of wealth, because of jobs, because of their now, because of the seen world, because of what they want now, they have left their akhirah, they leave the salah, they leave their, you know, they leave connection with Allah, they leave the Quran, they leave all of this. How many do we know? Plenty. There's too many to count. This is, they've gone this way. But you know what? Some people go that way as well. I'll give you an example. In Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, it was Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He used to come home and he used to, after Isha, he used to come home and he used to do his nafil prayers. Umm Darda, his wife, after a while, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she complained. She said, Messenger of Allah, my husband comes home, okay, after all day he comes home. And then I'm waiting for him, but he's, you know, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah. Yeah? But his Allahu Akbar doesn't finish. He's continuously Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He's praying. And she's dropped off. She dropped off to sleep. And then when she's basically woken up for Fajr, he gets up for Fajr, fine. And then after that, you know, after Fajr he's gone to sleep or something and she's now awake because she slept in the night, he's sleeping in the day, and you know, that she's not finding that connection. So she complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after you know, while he sent Salman radiallahu anhu as a guest to Abu Darda's house. Okay, so Salman asked Abu Darda, come and stay in your house for 3 days. He said, fine, you can come. So Salman went to his house. After Isha, both of them came home in Abu Darda's, and Abu Salama basically, subhanAllah, he's getting ready for Allahu Akbar. And Salman said, hey, he said, stop, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to do my nafil prayers. He said, "Don't forget, no. He said, go to your wife right now. You know, go sleep right now. Are you telling me? Like, go?" He said, go to sleep now. So he went to sleep. Okay, went to bed. Then Salman got up, radiallahu anhu, got up later on in the night for tahajjud, for qiyamul layl. Abu Salama also got up. They both prayed tahajjud. They both prayed qiyamul layl. Okay, and then they went for fajr. And Abu Darda, I'm not having any of this. Okay. He complained to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, Messenger of Allah, this guest comes to my house and tells me that I can't do my nafl, my extra prayers. Rasulullah ﷺ said, okay, tell me what's going on. Okay, because they planned this to try and get, you know, his wife, to try and get her rights. Okay, so he said, look, he said, I go home and I do my nafl all the way. And Salman came, told me to go to sleep. Then he told me to wake up here. Then he told me to do this and do that. And then when I asked Salman, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna li'aynika alayka haqqa," your eye has a right over you. This is Salman telling Abu Salama. He said, your eye has a right over you that you must sleep. "Wa inna linafsika alayka haqqa," your body has a right over you, you need to give it rest. "Wa inna li'ahlika alayka haqqa," your family has a right over you as well. وَإِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا, your Lord has a right over you as well. You've got to balance everything. And he complained to the Prophet ﷺ and said, you know, he said that he quoted you and that you said this, and the Prophet ﷺ said, صَدَقَ Salman. Salman spoke the truth. Okay, get the balance right. Salman spoke the truth. So some people go this way and some people go that way. Okay, and in everything Allah has asked us to keep that balance. If you ever think, well, how do I know where to find this balance and how to balance it? You've got to go and see what? You've got to go to two places. Number one is the Quran. Okay, the Quran gives us a very detailed explanation of balance. And number two is the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the entire life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was balanced. Okay, there's a clear balance. So ihdina surat al-mustaqim, one of the main things of balance is the seen world, the unseen world, the dunya, the akhirah, to balance both. Like some people, subhanAllah, they get into the world so much that, you know, they become absent-minded from the akhirah. Some people, you know, to the akhirah so much, absent-minded with the dunya. And Allah has asked us not to do this. If you break the mizan, you know what Allah said in Surah Rahman, the balance, if you get the balance wrong, you will always suffer. There will be something wrong with us if you get the balance wrong. Now let me give you another part of the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us to keep a balance with our wealth. The way we deal with our wealth, the way we have our own monies, Allah said the balance. If you spend too much, you've broken the balance. You've offset the whole thing. If you're stingy and you don't spend, you go that way. And Allah has talked about both of them in the Holy Quran. So if I give you the ayah in Surah Al-Isra, Allah Azza wa Jalla has said here in Surah number 17, ayah number 30, Allah says, Surah ayah number 29, Allah says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. Don't put your hands, okay, don't put your hands tied to the back of your neck like this. Hey, I'm not going to give you no money. I'm not going to spend on you. Hey, I'm not going to spend on you. Yeah, you know some tight people, they don't want to spend. It's like getting blood out of stone when you want to get something from them. Right? Some people are really tight. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Tight on their own family, tight on their own children, tight on their own, you know, close ones. Sometimes they're tight on far people, sometimes close people, they're tight. And Allah said, that said then said in the same verse, وَلَا تَبْسُطَهَا. You know, one guy's like this, yeah? Then Allah said, وَلَا تَبْسُطَهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. Hey man, hey dude, you want to have a good time? Yeah, I'm going to spend on you, boy. Bro, I'm going to spend on you. You know, you put your hands out like that. Allah says, تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. Don't spread your arms out fully and say you're going to spend and spend and spend. Allah said, فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا. Otherwise, you're going to sit down, being someone who's blamed or someone who's actually, you know, regretting what they did. Why? Because Allah's called us for a balance. You spend, you keep some. You spend, you keep some. You save some, you spend some. Subhanallah, some people, I don't understand them. You know, people sometimes don't even get the balance right with saving. Some people, saving means that you save, you never spend from that place again. Like from the savings that you got, you never spend from that. When you need to spend, that's why you saved, right? Why did you save? You saved so that you could be in your grave and everybody else could spend your money. Do you guys understand or not? I was in India with my sheikh and we were taking a journey from UP to Delhi. Okay, so the money for a good first class carriage of a train service, and they've got some good trains out there. Yeah, mashallah, better than what I've seen in this country, bruv. Yeah, I'll be honest with you, the first class is really good. Anyway, so they've got a really good carriage you can get with, you know, cushioned seats and private cabin and everything for, guess what, about £4. Okay, it's about 400 rupees or something over there. And there was a man amongst us who had the money to spend that. The rest of them were a bit poor, so they went by bus. You know, I went by train, my sheikh went by train. And this man who had the money, he decided to go by bus. Now, if you go by bus, you're going to have a very rough ride. Okay, it's going to be a longer journey, rough ride. And how much is he going to save? He's just going to save a couple of pounds. And he was going to go on the bus. And he actually went on the bus. And the sheikh said to him, he said, listen, why did you save your money in your life? What's the point of saving your money? If you can't use your money when you need to use your money, then what's the point of saving? And some people are the opposite. They never save. La hawla wa la quwwata illa, they never save anything. They never have anything for the rainy days again. The balance is not there. Look at the Quran. The Quran says, I'll give another verse because it talks about this balance. Allah says in Surah number 25, Surah Furqan, Ayah number 67. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا. Allah has said, those who when they spend, they're not extravagant. They're not extravagant, nor are they stingy, but they are in between. That is the balance. We have to have a balance in terms of the way we approach people. If you're too sweet, people will swallow you. And if you're too bitter, people will spit you out. So you got to remain in between. It's a very tricky thing, okay? Remain in between. Don't ever get too sweet, and don't ever get too bitter. If you're too bitter, okay? Allah said in the Holy Quran, this again part of our balance, okay? Allah said, this is in Surah Ali Imran. Surah number 3, ayah number 159. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Out of the mercy of Allah, O Prophet, you're someone who is gentle towards the Sahaba. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. Had you been stern, hard-hearted, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have run away from you. Guaranteed, anyone who's out there, always like, you know, hey, 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 hey. You know some people? That's how they talk. Okay, when they go home and sound like, hey, 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 hey. Yeah, they're always raising their voice, always shouting, always, you know, saying something here, saying something there. Guaranteed, their children are not bouncing on top of, you know, him or around him. Guaranteed, children don't want to see daddy. Children don't want to see, even if it's a mother doing that, children don't want to be nearby. Or even a wife doesn't want to be nearby. Or somebody else doesn't want to be nearby. Why? Because the Quran has said, you get the balance wrong, then that's what's going to happen. But the opposite is true as well. If you become too soft, people will swallow you, man. People will swallow you. People will take you towards themselves. People will use you. People will put them in their own agenda. People will take you for a ride. It's in the Quran. Because Allah has warned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this as well. This is in the 15th juz of the Holy Quran, and this is in Surah number 17:17, and Allah has said in Surah number 17, ayah number 74, وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. If I as Allah had not kept you firm, then you would have drifted towards them a little. You would have become gently going, inclined towards them. Allah has said many places in the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا. Don't incline towards them this way. Allah has said, وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Don't fall in a position where you're following the whims and desires of these people. There's got to be a balance. And subhanAllah, Islam has given us that balance, which is whether you love or you hate, you keep a balance. Don't ever love someone too much. Don't ever hate someone too much. Keep the balance. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Ahbib habibaka ahbib habibaka hawnamma asa an yakuna baghidaka yawmamma." The Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith of Tirmidhi, love your beloved in a moderate way, lest one day your beloved become someone that you dislike, you hate. And then he said, أَبْغِضْ بَغِيضَكَ هَوْنَمَّا عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَبِيبَكَ يَوْمَمَّا. Hate the person you hate, hate them moderately, lest one day the person you hate becomes your beloved. Okay, there's a balance here, which is when you love, you have to love moderately. I'll give you an example. Look, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Aisha radiallahu anha, who he loved his wives, he did it in a balanced way. He never gave too much love, and he never gave too less love. He gave the right balance. So whenever there was an issue with him and Aisha radiallahu anha, he was always able to maintain his position. Now let me explain this a little bit more, because some people are like, well, what's that got to do with me, bruv? Yeah. Do you know that there's so many people in this Western world who are suffering because they gave too much love? You don't agree with me? Do you guys agree with me? You agree with me? No, many of you are like, don't know what you're talking about. But let me explain to you. The man is sitting in his home, okay? His wife is spending from his credit card or his debit card. And the man can't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because if the man says something, then he's not going to get any performance in the night time. Or he might have some other trouble. He might not have some, you know, plate of food, whatever, yeah? The woman, she's home, okay? And she's given too much love to her husband. And because she's given too much love to her husband, her husband's not going to even get up from that sofa and do anything. She's just going to sit there. He's just going to sit there. Because she gave too much love. There's parents who've got the children who are playing these games, electronic games, and they say, hey, you know, finish, time's up. And the child, I'm finishing. And they can't get them to finish. They're just playing. Are you going to finish? Come on. Are you going to finish? Another half an hour gone, 45 minutes gone, 50 minutes gone. Why? Because you gave too much love. If you can't get your child to listen to you, if you can't get someone in a household to listen to you, it probably means that you've put yourself in a weak position because you gave too much love. And I'll tell you, I'm not just saying this. We suffer in this part of the world with too much love. And in the other part of the world that we came from, they suffer with too less love. Do you guys understand? You guys understand or not? Yeah, if you visited those places, you know that they don't care about anything. Alright? Kid not listening, potash! End of story. You know, everything's solved. Yeah? Someone not listening, potash! Finished, it's done. Yeah, whether it's the wife or somebody else, they just know how to do that. And they've got less love in some of the habits on that side, and we've got too much love on this side, and we're both suffering for different reasons. Because in your love, if you give too much, guaranteed you're going to suffer in the long term. There are people who've told me this. There's a man from Edmonton. Here, Edmonton. The man rang me last year. He told me how much he gave to his... No, he said, look, I've given this to my wife and I gave this to my wife. And, you know, she's got a comfortable house here and I'm working. You know, I'm doing this shift and that shift. And, you know, she wanted this. I gave that to her. She wanted that. I gave that to her. And then after a few years, she wanted this and I gave that and so on. And you know, I've got a few kids in between. And yes, I'm giving her enough money to look after the kids, look after herself. And one day, after many, many years, she tells him that, you know, she's not happy. I'm like, what do you mean she's not happy? What are you talking about she's not happy? No, she's not happy. And when I spoke to him for 45 minutes, and I asked this question and that question, and I said, bruv, I'll tell you what your problem is. Your problem is you made it too sweet. If you make it too sweet, then the mouth doesn't want to taste anything sour. If you make it too sour, then, you know, it's... You know, something else might not taste that nice. You can't, you know, you've got to have that balance. I said, you've given too much. Now you're going to have to curtail this whole thing back. And subhanAllah, the Quran, when it talked about us having the straight path, it meant to balance even in our emotions. Even when you're angry, be balanced. If you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his anger, he was balanced. And many of us need to learn from this. Because some of us, when we get angry, then it's like, oh, we're Incredible Hulk. You know, destroy stuff. Right? No sense, okay? He's angry. He's going to smash blades. He's going to, like, you know, wave his arms. He's going to probably, you know, hit something, punch the wall, punch a door. Incredible Hulk. What does that do to you, bruv? You're embarrassing yourself. And some other people, when they, you know, some other people, subhanAllah al-Azim, they get angry and they just sit there. They get angry, like, they sit there. all the anger is festering in here, and they complain to people, but they don't solve their problem. They don't stand their grounds. The Quran has taught us that we have a balance. You get angry, you have the right to get angry, and you got to keep your stance. And the Quran has spoken about this. So for example, there are many times when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to stand his grounds. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they challenged him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to stand his grounds. He said something, he meant it, that's it. These are the lines, and you don't cross these lines. And subhanAllah, we have to learn from this, because some people, you know, whatever line you draw, people are always going to challenge you to try and move the line a bit back. And they're always going to challenge you to try and move the line a bit back. So in the gathering of the Prophet ﷺ, some of them started to ask him questions, you know, and then they got to silly questions. Now there's a balance here. When you're asking questions, yes, certain questions are in the Quran. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They're asking you about intoxicants and gambling. This is a valid question. And the Prophet ﷺ gave an answer through the Quran. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى. They're asking you about the orphans. And the Quran gave an answer for that. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. They're asking you a question about women and their menstruation. The Quran answered that. These are valid questions. But then one day, you know, as they're getting to ask questions, one day they got to silly questions, and one of them said, in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of them said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I've got a question." You know, what's your question? Is my father my real father? You know, when people cross the line, yeah, is my father my real father? And then Allah, you know, set the record straight. Allah said, Surah Ma'idah, Surah number 5, ayah number 101. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, La tas'alu an ashya, don't ask about certain things. In tubda lakum tasukkum, if it was revealed to you, you would have dark faces. Meaning that if I now get it out of my messenger's mouth that your father wasn't your real father. Can you imagine, like, oh, Messenger of Allah, is my father, my real father? And if the Prophet said, no, oh my God, how are you going to live your life after this? How are you going to live your life after this? So the Quran was telling us that, you know, be balanced in terms of, you know, the boundaries that we have with one another, you got to keep your mark. And the Quran was clear. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, he stood his grounds. But then what happened is, you know, when you have a situation like this, every time people try to knock you this way, okay, knock you this way, they'll come back that way and they'll try to knock that way. Alright? And sometimes what happens is you keep your grounds, they couldn't knock you this way, they couldn't knock you that way, so now they don't even want to engage with you. It happened. So what happened after this was, now the Sahaba was scared. That, oh my God, nobody's asking questions. People were scared to ask questions. So, what kind of a question is going to be the right question to ask? Alright? So then Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam to come down, and that's where we had the whole incident of Hadith Jibreel. Where Jibreel alayhi salam came down in the form of a man, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sat in front of him, he asked a number of questions. What is Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan? Okay? That whole thing happened after an incident like this because Sahaba were not asking. And then they were encouraged again to ask questions. Okay, now you've got to stand your grounds, but you'll know that certain people will push you this way, push you that way, but you've got to stand in the middle. I will tell you one thing, that you know, this we're living in a very liberal world. Okay, in this side of the world, the Western world we're living in, is a very liberal type of world, and a lot of people have not got the balance right with their lives. A lot of people have not got the balance with their lives. Because we're in an environment where everything's sort of skewed to the left. And a lot of people are not understanding. Like, for example, the capitalist society, right? We live in a capitalist society. You have to understand this. We live in a world where money is everywhere and everything is money. That's the kind of world we're living in. Like, if you don't earn your monies and if you don't have enough to pay your bills, then you're not on the grid. You're not going to be on the grid. So what has happened is people have lost their balance. People have lost their balance in terms of their ibadah. People have lost the balance in terms of focus of the akhirah. People have lost their balance in terms of getting so much freedom that they basically just lost themselves. There's a balance. The Quran has said, okay, one is you're a abd. You're a servant, all right, or a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, the Quran has said that, abd. It's given us the whole thing of us being ibad. But the Quran has given a balance, which is the Quran has also recognized that we also have to have our own rights and our own rest. So the Quran has talked about it. The Quran said, look, you've got necessities in you. So for example, you've got a need inside you, that, you know, a sexual need inside you. The Quran has said, okay, fulfill it through marriage. Fulfill it through nikah and through marriage. The Quran sees the need that we've got inside us. So the Quran has given us, okay, fulfill that. But the Quran has also said, you've got responsibilities. It gives a balance. The Quran has seen the need for us to have children, to have progeny after us. But the Quran has said, okay, have your children. Have your moments of, you know, kuchi-kuchi-koo, you know. But at the same time, the Quran has told us that you've got responsibility. That these children now are amana. They are a responsibility on you. You can't just have children and not be responsible for them till they grow up. You need to have that responsibility. Now, subhanAllah al-Azim, in every aspect of our lives, what you will see is this part of the Quran where it says, Ihdina surat al-mustaqim, there is a balance that's needed. And where do you find the balance? I said to you earlier, two things. Number one, the Quran. How? Because you know when you look at Alif Lam Mim, Allah Azza wa Jal has started the Quran, we say Alif Lam Mim, and then Dhalika al-Kitab. Anyone know what Dhalika means? What does Dhalika mean in Arabic? Anyone tell me Dhalik, not Hadha, but Dhalik. What does Dhalik mean?
That.
What does Hadha mean?
This.
The Quran starts by saying, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That book. Okay, there's no doubt in it. Now why would Allah say that? One of the best tafsirs of this is, ذَلِكَ, that. That صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. That straight path. That straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, you were asking for from Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Kitab La Raiba Fi, the book, there is no doubt. This is the book, there is no doubt in. Why? That Sirat al-Mustaqim is now from Alif Lam Mim to the end of the book. That Sirat al-Mustaqim is this book. Every guidance that you need is in this book. And the second thing that you need is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. The more you study Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, the more you see a balance. And the beauty of looking at Rasulullah's life is that you recognize that subhanAllah, our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was an all-rounder. He was in every aspect of his life, subhanAllah. Look, he had friends, he had family, he gave his balanced time to his friends, balanced time to his family, balanced time to Allah, balanced time to himself, he balanced it all. That's the beauty of looking at Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. You have a balance. And I will tell you one thing, my friends. You know, in this capitalist society that we're living in, you know, I feel sorry for a lot of people out there who've lost their balance. Because of money, because of them being driven by the capitalist society, they are heading for a waterfall. They're heading for a waterfall and they don't realize it. Brother, my sister, you need to earn money, yes. But there's a life on this earth you need to have for yourself as well. Working, leaving your house 7 in the morning, right? Returning back 7 in the evening, right? And then having barely any time to yourself is not a healthy life. It's not a healthy life. I tell you, you'd be better off working for less money with less hours, but be happy yourself. I'm telling you, long term, you're going to be happy. A lot of these people, subhanAllah, especially, you know, they're working in these, you know, Canary Wharf. You guys know Canary Wharf? We don't know Canary Wharf. We're in Edmonton, yeah? Canary Wharf, okay, in East London. You've got people, you've got the big banks there. And some of the brothers I know that work in those banks, they're doing extra time. They're really made to work hard. And they get very good salaries. Okay? And again, look, I'm not here to discuss about the jobs in the banks. Some jobs in banks are halal, some jobs are haram. I'm not here to discuss that, okay? But let's just say they're working in there. They've got long hours. And I see them. They're earning good bucks. Don't get me wrong. And their family's getting good bucks. But you know, after a while, what happens? After a while, the connection with their wife is not there. After a while, the connection with their children is not there. After a while, the children are growing up and there's not a real, you know, deen and religion that's supposed to be there. And after a while, they themselves are drained. You know, we're talking about 5 years. Give them 6, 7 years. They're drained. They started at the age of 26, 27. They're only 32, 33, 34, and they're shattered. Who told us to get that balance wrong with working so much for the dunya and not so much for the, you know, for the akhirah? And I'll tell you one thing, brothers, yeah, and sisters who are listening. Some of you might be thinking, well, you know, Sheikh, I've got to pay for this bill and I've got to pay for that bill. I've got to pay for this and I've got to pay for that and I've got to pay for this. You know, you give me your bills and I'll tell you what you need to pay for, what you don't need to pay for. Seriously. You gotta seriously think, why am I, you know, working so hard? Right? Working so hard that I'm losing myself, I'm losing my family, I'm losing my akhirah, I'm losing this whole balance. Why? You tell me. You can go for a less package, okay, with all your TV and your internet and your, I don't know, this package that you're getting through your internet provider for your TV and some other things. You can go for a less one, but you choose to go for the higher one. A seat is a seat, right? Guys, a seat is a seat, yes or no? Yes? Now look, the difference is, there's a hard seat, there's a medium kind of seat, okay, in terms of comfort, and there's a very comfy seat, brother. Okay? You wanted to go for the most comfortable one. That was your choice. And now you're working so hard to get that comfortable seat, and the comfortable sofa, and the one that you sit in and you're like... Yeah? Who set that bar to get all of these things around? Who set that bar? You. You could do with just normal carpet. But you wanted to go for that, you know, special wood that would be, you know, very good looking in your house. You set that bar. You know, you can have just normal paint, just straight white paint on your house. No. You wanted the design. You set the bar. You and your wife set the bar. You and your husband set the bar. And when you do that, then you gotta pay for it. So you gotta go out there, you gotta work hard, boy. Who set these bars? Who said to you that you have to have such a, you know, luxury, you know, meal or whatever? You can just have whatever, subhanAllah. You don't have to have all these soft drinks in your house. You know, people stash their houses with what? With, you know, they want Coca-Cola, or they want Pepsi, and they want some 7-Up, and then they want some other drinks. They want some canned drinks. So maybe we need some canned drinks. Oh, we could have the bottle drinks as well. Just in case we go on a journey, we need the little bottles. You know, each one is costing about 50 pence to a pound, right? We need the big bottles as well. Put them inside. Oh, we might need some Ribena here. We need some other Vimto here. We need some other sort of juice here. We need the kid juice. We need that juice. We need juice. You know your bill? Oh, God. And you know what? You could have lived on water. Free of charge, bruv. Free of charge. Yeah? Seriously. Some people, teas and coffees. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These people spending one, every time they go to the coffee place, £10. £9.99 at a coffee place, because you get the expensive coffee, which is £3.60 or £4 something, a coffee. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, okay? Coffee, £4 coffee, okay? Then you gotta buy a little something next to it, you know, a little bun, little this, little that. And next minute, you know, $9.99, you just spend there, $7.99, you spend there. Who told you you have to spend all of that? Who told you? Who told you you have to be on coffee? Who said you have to have tea? You can cut all of this. And you know what the beauty is? If you find the balance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a simple life, the more simple your life is, the more happy you are. And the more complex you make it with, I've got to have this, and we've got to have that, and we've got to have this, and we've got to, for the kids, we've got to have this, we've got to have that, and then designer clothes, designer bags, and then designer this, designer that. Oh my God, the list never ends. The list never ends. You get into that, you're a dead man. I just tell you that now. You're a dead woman. You get into all this designer stuff, you're finished. I'll give you another thing. Look, you know, you've seen me, right? I wear these clothes, right? One of these pieces cost me about £20, right? One of these clothing pieces cost me £20. I wear them all the time. I wear them till they're finished, right? And you know what? When I come out the door, I have a choice of a few colors. They're all the same size, same cutting, same length, same style. There's nothing different. All I choose is, okay, I'll just wear this color, that's it, finished. Yeah, straight up, on, finished, I'm at the door, okay? Finished. No design, no nothing, you know, just straight out. £20, finished. And it lasts me for about 8 to 10 years. One of these will last me for about 8 to 10 years. I'll wear it, and I'll wear it, and wear it. And when I've almost finished with it, I'll take it to Bangladesh, and I'll give it to a poor person, and he'll be very happy with it, and he'll wear it for another 10 years. Alhamdulillah. I've got no design shirt, design, you know, belts, design trousers, design shoes. And when you get design shoes, subhanallah, when people get into these things, yeah, they've got to have, some brothers have got 40 shirts. 40 shirts. She's got 50 dresses. She's got 50, one woman told me, 51 pair of shoes. Another one woman told me, 43 pairs of shoes. Subhanallah. One brother told me his sister bought a bag. You know a bag, handbag? His sister bought a handbag. Guess how much for? Guess how much for? £950. Whoa, sister. That makes you look so expensive. £950 bag when you can get just a £50 bag and you'll be fine with it. People have to have expensive watches, expensive, you know, all this gear just to make themselves look good. Why? Who told you you have to have the type of car that you have? Who told you? A car is a car. You want to go from A to Z. A few mod cons is enough. A few luxuries in the car is enough. You don't have to get, you know, this series, that series. Because what happens then is, you then do it for the name. You do it for the status. You do it for other people to rate you of who you are. Right? That's why you do it. And my God, I tell you one thing, yeah? Simple life, subhanallah, it's the best one. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam life, I mean, we're not as simple as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I wish we could be. You know, that I would love, yeah? I would love, honestly. I know I'm stuck here in England. I'm stuck because of you guys. Yeah? I have to lecture, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah? Right? But I would love, honestly, to go to a simple part of the world. Yeah? Simple part of the world. To have a simple house that doesn't cost much, that you can basically just pay off. There are places in the world, subhanallah, you can get an entire house, 3-bedroom house, for just £20,000. Yes or no? Yes, there are places in the world, you might not get all your comforts, you're not going to get all your supermarkets next to you and this and that and your lush, you know, lush things or whatever. You might not get that, but there's places in the world where you are mortgage free for £20,000. And you've got a whole house. And it's for life. £20,000. And you've got a good house, like with all the facilities and so on. There are places in the world where you can live a whole month you can live for like £100, £150. You don't need more than that. I would love to just go to one of those places, if I didn't have all the duties that I have. Just stay there, man. Just like live with minimum means and just use the rest of the time to do good and to, you know, enjoy yourself with dunya and akhirah. You know, what do you need? What do you need? Do you really need to watch a movie? Do you really need to watch a film and have all of it? If you need it, then you just damage yourself, man. If you really have to do all those things. I understand some people need entertainment. But you know what? If you make your entertainment the dhikr of Allah, if you make your entertainment the Quran, if you make your attachment to the deen, and that is where you get your relaxation, because entertainment is, you want to get relaxed, right? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He made his life as a balance, he made his life that he was attached to the akhirah, and he found his greatest peace in salah. It's in hadith. He said in Sahih Bukhari, he said to Bilal radiallahu anhu, he said, Arihna bis salati ya Bilal. Oh Bilal, give us the relief by giving the adhan. Give us the relief. As in, I'm going to feel so comfortable once you give the adhan because I'm going to be in my salah and that's the most peaceful place I have. You know, Rasulullah said, "Was salatu qurratu ayni." He says, salah is the coolness or the apple of my eyes. You know, there's a saying in English, apple of my eyes. Or the coolness, the thing that cools me down is salah. If we made our life like that, and then, look, I'm not saying just pray and pray and pray and pray. No, I didn't say that. I said, get the balance right. If you make that your beauty, the thing you look forward to, the thing you want to go to, and at the same time, you're looking after your family, you're doing a few duties, you work, you know, I'm not saying anyone not to work. You know, alhamdulillah, you know, work, that's good. You know, it's a sunnah of the Prophet to work, you know, and it's a very highly recommended thing to work. I'm not telling you not to work, but no, the balance is that you work enough, you have enough, and then you live your life as a happy person. And I'll tell you one thing here. I've seen, you know, what is happiness? People don't understand what happiness is. Happiness is not you smiling. Happiness is not you laughing. That's not happiness. Smiling is a temporary thing. You smile, then you don't smile. Laughing is a temporary thing. Somebody makes you laugh. Something makes you laugh. So you laugh for a little while and that's it. It's gone. It's temporary. Happiness is of the heart, not of the face. Okay? Remember this. Happiness is of the heart, not of the face. If you're happy, you're happy inside here. There's a lot of people out there, subhanAllah, that make themselves look so happy on social media and they are so sad. You know what they do? Every person on social media has got their best picture on there. Their best photo. Yeah? Their best photo, like, and subhanAllah, you know, it's kind of crazy, okay? Some will go to Photoshop and make themselves look better. And now they've got this Samsung phone. I don't know if you noticed this Samsung phone, right? If you take a picture, it makes you look better than what you are in real life. Subhanallah. If you're taking a picture with a Samsung phone, one of the latest phones, yeah? It makes you look better than what you are. You know why it does? It's got this technology that it looks at your skin, right? And it finds the color, right? And all the little holes you got in your skin and all the little ups and downs or whatever you got, it blends it all, okay? It blends it all nicely, automatically. One selfie, all right? One selfie, one picture, it blends it all. So you can't see the dips inside. You can't see the little, you know, the little ups and downs and all of that. You can't see the imperfections. It kind of gives you a nice little, you know, face massage, okay, right? And then when you basically show your photo, you look better than what you are in real life. I'm like, astaghfirullah, that's not who you are, right? And every single social media account will show everybody happy. They're sharing all the happy moments. Well, guess what? They're not happy. A lot of them are not happy. They're just sharing you a moment of their lives. Happiness is not in their face. Happiness is in the heart. And if you want to get happiness, the only happiness you will get is through the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, through His remembrance. And this is one of the themes we're going to cover in this series, inshallah. I'll give you this ayah and I want you to reflect on this. Okay? I'll give you this ayah. Because what are people looking for? You know, with entertainment, when people are entertaining themselves with the TV, with the smartphone, entertaining themselves with YouTube, entertaining themselves with clip after clip, entertaining themselves with, let's say, Facebook videos and whatnot and posts. When people are entertaining themselves with a movie or something else, or a console game or a game they're playing, what are they looking for? When people are looking for, you know, looking for to go and, you know, I know it's haram, but some people go and try and drink and find, you know, the peace. Some people look at drugs and they want to make themselves, you know, something they're looking for. Some kind of, you know, long-term, you know, they want a long-term sort of relaxation. They want to feel really good about themselves. They want peace. They're looking for peace. They're looking for long-term peace inside and outside. They're looking for that through drugs, through gambling, through, you know, alcohol, through wasting time, through entertainment, whatever it is. Allah has said in the Holy Quran, subhanAllah, Subhanallah al-Azim, Allah said, "Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub." Allah has said in the Holy Quran, Surah Ra'd, Surah Al-Ma 13, ayah number 28. Allah said, "Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikri Allah." Those who believe and their inside, their minds, their hearts are completely content, long-term contentment, bi dhikri Allah, through the remembrance of Allah. Allah bi dhikri Allah tatma'innu al-qulub. Allah has said, "Be warned that only through the remembrance of Allah will your minds, will your hearts will find long-term settlement, long-term contentment, only through this." Okay, Allah has told us that. Because you can go through any other avenue until you haven't made up with Allah Azza wa Jal and found your beauty in salah, in connecting with Allah, just His remembrance, okay? Connecting with His remembrance. If you haven't found that, then you haven't found long-term happiness. That's not happiness. Happiness is this. Okay? May Allah Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq, give us ability. Now today's theme, we discussed about Sirat al-Mustaqim. Okay? And as a summary, I want to say that Sirat al-Mustaqim is a balance, okay, and a balance in every part of our lives, whether it's dunya, akhirah, our emotions, we need to balance them, our connection with people, we need to balance them, the way we spend our money, we need to balance them, our dunya and akhirah, we need to balance it, our ibadah and the worship we do, we need to balance it, right? Our connection with Allah and connection with human beings, we need to balance it. There's a lot of balances we need to get, and that's what Sirat al-Mustaqim was about. And finally, I want to say to you that the Quran has said straight in Surah Fatiha, "Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim." It has said the path of those people whom Allah has favored, and they are the Nabiyeen, the prophets, Siddiqeen, truthful ones, Shuhada, the martyrs, Salihin, those who are righteous. In another part of the Quran, Allah has explained them. What does that mean? That means that without being in the company of people who've balanced themselves, you can't get true balancing. So one is the Quran. Yes, we need to read the Quran, understand the Quran, and implement that in our lives. That's one balance. The second one is, without finding those people whose companionship we can be in, who we can spend time with, you can't get that balance. That's how the Sahaba became the Sahaba, because they found the companionship of the Prophet ﷺ. They stayed with him. They spent time with him. They molded their behavior according to him. They found the balance in according to his balance. And when the next generation came, the Tabi'een, they spent time with the companions. They sat with them. They ate with them. They moved with them. They learned with them. They spent time with them. And then they found that balance by spending it with real people. That's what we also need to do, is find those people in our lives who have got more of a balance. Spend time with them, inshallah, and Allah will also give us that balance in our lives. Jazakumullah khair. Anyone got any question that is an urgent question to do with today's topic? Something I might have mentioned with somebody, you know, want to, you know, make a query or anyone got one? No? Okay. I'll see you inshallah next week after Maghrib. Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. والرسمات هنا سرور يا حلوى تلك السنين. The Safar curriculum covers all the Islamic educational needs of young Muslims today in a fun, simple and engaging way. Tried and tested for over 15 years at one of the UK's leading maktabs. The curriculum has been adopted by hundreds of institutions around the world and makes your child's journey in seeking knowledge easy, meaningful and dynamic. This innovative and comprehensive curriculum covers Quran and Tajweed, Islamic studies, du'as and surahs, as well as Arabic in an integrated and structured way. Visit safarpublications.org to find out more.